Thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
Well, I really want to thank the chapel team for all of the songs on love. Because that's what I'm speaking on. So it's almost like we worked this out together. And I do think if you took Iman and Emily, they could power a small city together, I think, with their voices together. Great job, ladies. Wow. Very cool. So what is love? When you think of that, what definition comes to your mind? So just think about that for a second. Of what is love? For me, if you're like me, oftentimes when you start to think about something like that, you can't think of the definition without a person or an action or something like that coming to mind. It just kind of, they blend together. That love is defined in something that you have, something that you've experienced. But where we are today in the world, we get pushed into defining love by our pleasures. Something that's for my gain, my advantage. It comes very self-centered, and we know that that's so wrong. But we also subtly equate love with happiness. So oftentimes when there's a definition of a word and we give the right definition by our life, we have an operational different definition that's different. And so we'll kind of say that's what this means, but the way that we live that out, or the way that we our actions carried out, our belief is operationally different from that. So we got to get on track with that. But what I find is that oftentimes, instead of the pleasure, happiness, those types of things, we most deeply understand love in situations that are far away from that. They're not happy. They're not pleasurable. They can be incredibly sad. They can be incredibly hard. But it's those greatest expressions of love in situations like that that really make us aware of what love is, and that love can come at not very happy moments. Coach Tony was up here talking, shared testimony of his son. Not a very happy situation, not what they wanted in their son's life, but you could see and just tell the love that they had for their son. And then you got to hear the incredible story how even through that circumstance, God used that to point Coach Stockman to his love and to come to find that. Is that a happy circumstance? No, it's not. But there's real love. Right now, downtown, there is something going on. There's a memorial service. Magnolia Faith Markle. Some of you that have been here for a while, maybe some of you seniors will remember Alex Markle. Alex worked as the admin in the Res Life office where Aaron is today. Both Alex and Christian, her husband, are grads of CIU. Christian has worked down Oliver Gospel Mission down there. Just two incredible people of faith. And back this summer, they had their daughter, Magnolia. And right from the start, they knew that there were issues. Magnolia couldn't breathe on her own, just following their blog. And there were some good days and there were some bad days. You could see all of the contraptions that Magnolia was hooked up to. And then just here Sunday morning, Magnolia went to be with the Lord. And so today downtown at Riverside Church, there are several of us that are down there with them, standing with them. And the testimony on their blog is love, understanding the depth of God's love in the midst of pain. And that just often turns the world on its ear when we think about love like that. So I want to talk to you today about what is love from 1 John. But before we do that, I just want to pray. We'll dig in. Father, we realize that right now, just a few miles from where we are, Pastor James is leading a very somber group of people in a memorial service, Lord. But I know that hearts and thoughts are directed at you. and the hope and joy and love that is found in you. I pray for Alex and Christian especially, that you would just uphold them. May they know that even from this room right here, that we love them, that we're with them in this community of believers that you call your church. We know that they know that. We want them to feel that. We want to be with them. But Lord, I am so grateful that they are anchored in you. And for the short, brief life that Magnolia had and the testimony that she was to many through their interaction together as a family, I pray that the seeds that came from that would be sown and that your spirit would bring fruit that just points to your magnificence in all of these types of situations. Lord, as we look at love briefly here, challenge us, poke at us, leave us in a position where we've got to respond to you. So we just commit our time to you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. So in the book of 1 John, John gets pretty direct. He doesn't mince words very often. And so in chapter 4 of 1 John, in 7 through 11, he says this. You can follow along up there. I'll read it here. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. So there's the passage. And as I was looking at it, I think John does three things for us here. He lets us know where love originated in verses 7 and 8, how love was demonstrated in verses 9 and 10, and then how love is perfected in verses 11 and 12. So digging right in, where love originates, verses 7 and 8. I love it when scripture makes things pretty blunt. Here's what it says, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. So the question, where does love originate? Bingo, right there. Love is from God. And he says, whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. So the answer, God. That's where it originates. But it's funny that John kind of has this answer to this question, but then kind of in the text, it just kind of begs this question. Do I love others? Do I know God? What is love? And so John confronts us with pretty hard passages. Look at this, verse 8. Anyone who does not love does not know God. So what is love? Am I loving? Then the thing is, do I love God? So what is love? So here we go. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy, does not boast. It's not arrogant. It's not rude. It doesn't insist on its own way. It's not irritable. It's not resentful. Does not rejoice in wrongdoing. It rejoices with the truth. It bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. Endures all things. Love never ends. Some versions say love never fails. So there's the test. How'd you do? Did you pass? Did you say, yeah, I do that, I do that, I do that, I do that, going through there? Or did you look at that and say, man, not all the time, not very good? Well, anyone who does not love does not know God. If you answered no, or if you wavered, what are you going to do with that? I mean, that's the Bible, isn't it? I believe it's true. This school stands on the fact that it's true and inerrant. Well, hang on. There's hope and there's help. So in these next verses, What John does is he unpacks how love was demonstrated to us. These verses here. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. So God says, you know, there's that little subtle test that I just gave you there. You can't do it. And God says, but I can. And that's the cool thing, that everything God calls us to do, he equips us to do. And we look at that as grace. It's by grace that we're saved through faith. And you keep going through a book like the book of Galatians, and it just pounds grace onto you. That why did you begin by this, and then you're trying to work things out? Don't you know it's grace that's there? Paul writes to the people in Galatians, in Galatia. So we all probably passed. We all need God. And so how did God demonstrate this love? Well, the most common verse in the Bible, packed with one of the most powerful truths in the Bible. John 3:16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, which the world was fully in, deserving of, but in order that the world might be saved through him. So God knows you can't love unless you're in him. How do we get in him? God says, I'm going to demonstrate that to you, and I'm going to send my one and only Son into a world that doesn't care for him. I'm going to send him. Many are going to turn their back on him, but through his love and that demonstration, millions are going to come to know him through the ages. And so that's how it was demonstrated. God sent his Son. But then John cranks it up a notch with this concept of the substitutionary atonement. So if you look in verse 10, what it says there, in this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. And he sent his Son to be payment for us. Everything that stood in the way of us having the relationship with God, all of our sin that caused that incredible divide that we can't get over, God says, I'm sending my Son, and he's going to bridge that gap. And so we see in passages like they're up here in 1 Corinthians 5:21, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Do you understand what that's saying? We could do absolutely nothing, but God says, I will come and I will do everything on your behalf so that you can have that relationship back with me. I want that relationship. And from the moment Adam and Eve fell in the garden, everything that I have done since then has been to buy you back, to redeem you and claim you as my own. And ultimately, that's realized in the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. So if you fail the love test, God knows that that's going to happen, because we failed the love test right out of the gate in the garden. Satan says, God doesn't have your best interest at heart. He knows the moment that you eat of that, you'll be like him. God's holding out on you. So we talked back at the start that often we define love about being my pleasure, my advantage, my gain. That's the challenge that Satan brings right to us and says, God's holding out on you. God says, I'm not holding out on you. I've got everything for you. Don't believe the lie. This is how I demonstrated my love for you. I sent my Son. And so Christ has become that payment for us. He's taken our sin upon him, and he's given us everything that pertains to life and godliness so that we can live and walk for him. But here's the crazy thing. God acknowledges our state, John writes and says, here's where you are. And he challenges us with this confrontation. Do you love? If you don't love, you don't know God. And then says, but God is love. And God has shown how he loves you, and God has made a way for you to love. And so in this last section, how is love perfected? It's by our response. Verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. We're a community, all right? We're not a church, we're a community. All kinds of backgrounds, all kinds of majors, different ages, different goals, but we've all been brought together at this place, CIU, and you're pursuing your degree, your education, all that's going on there. But we are a community. Every community, I don't care what community is, they have their rules and their guidelines. CIU does. You may think they're too strict. We think they're for the community, for the best of us. We're not going to sit here and argue everyone, is it biblical, is it not? Because some of them are just for community, forcing us to think and interact with one another, to appreciate one another, to respect the differences that we have, to honor those differences. And where we get held up by something, that's where this place comes in so cool, because we can learn about one another and grow in that. Sometimes that's the biggest demonstration of love to somebody else. Help me understand you. And all of a sudden, we're not looking from the eyes that it's about me, but it's about you. And I want to know you. And that's been one of the richest experiences that I've had. Now, Tyler wants you to come by and get to know our fish. I'd love for you to come by and get to know me. And on the way, you'll walk right by the fish. They are a happy thing. You need to come by and check out the fish. But our response, and then here is where it just gets me. So God says through John here in this book that it's not just about your response, but it's about our abiding. Many of you are familiar with John 15. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bear much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. And so in this passage that we're here in the very last verse, 12, no one has ever seen God. This seems to be a response to people that claim that they've had visions and they've got this higher knowledge as a result of seeing God. So John kind of puts that aside. No one's ever seen God. And then he says, if we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. Can you imagine that? God wants to take his love and perfect, complete that through us. Broken, messed up people, God says, I want you to champion that. Our response should be, God, you can't do that. You don't know me. And God says, yes, I do. And I've been there. Did you read those verses that were just before that? This is what I did. I sent my son to stand in your place so that you could love like I love. And so that challenge goes deep and it pushes hard against us. And all my pages got mixed up. So this concept of abiding in John 15, in this passage, it talks about bearing much fruit. So where do we learn about fruit? Galatians chapter 5. And we see this. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And all those other things that are there. God says, if you're not loving, if it's all about you, if your definition of love is made up in pleasure, be it sex, whatever it is, if that's what love looks like for you and that's your pursuit, God says, bag it. Because if you think you know me and that's what you're doing, we're not on the same page. God says, I want to be on the same page. And to get us on the same page, I sent my son. And my son has become the payment for you. And not only has he been the payment for you, he's been the empowerment that you need to do what I've asked you to do. I want a relationship with you. And I'm going to make it possible. And I'm going to send my son. And you believe in my son, then you can love. And then people can see me through your love. We're a community. All different places. In our relationship with God, we're all over the map. There are people here that are so much smarter than me in biblical things and theological things. There are people here, there are probably some students here, that their relationship with the Lord would be a challenge to me, would spur me on and encourage me to grow even further. There are some that are trying to figure out, what am I going to do with this God thing? And there are some of you that God's not even a blip on your radar. He calls you to respond. If you don't love, you don't know me. But I made a way for you to love like only I can love. Will you trust me and accept the payment of my son so that we can walk in that relationship and demonstrate that love? Let's pray together. Father, your word is powerful, and it really does cut deep like that double-edged sword. And so we read a verse that challenges us in our love, and we look at our actions and we say, God, we're so far short. But you say, that's why I'm here. And you meet us right there. You provide for us through Jesus Christ, and by that same grace that saves us, you empower us to love one another. Father, I pray for our campus that we would truly love one another. There have already been some things that just aren't right. So Lord, help us to be strong for one another. Help us to be bold to call out one another. That even in our confrontation, Lord, we can be loving to point people to you. Walk with us, Jesus. We need you. And we love you because you first loved us. It's in your name we pray, Lord. Amen. Have a good one.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.